Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Thank you, O Lord.
While some people were speaking about how the temple was adorned with costly stones and votive offerings, Jesus said, "All that you see here, the days will come when there will not be left a stone upon another stone that will not be thrown down." Then they asked him, "Teacher, when will this happen? And what sign will there be when all these things are about to happen?" He answered, "See that you not be deceived, for many will come in my name, saying, 'I am he,' and 'the time has come.' Do not follow them. When you hear of wars and insurrections, do not be terrified, for such things must happen first, but it will not immediately be the end." Then he said to them, "Nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be powerful earthquakes, famines, plagues from place to place, and awesome sights and mighty signs will come from the sky. Before all this happens, however, they will seize you and persecute you, and they will hand you over to the synagogues and to prisons, and they will have you led before kings and governors because of my name. It will lead you to giving your testimony. Remember, you are not to prepare your defense beforehand, for I myself shall give you a wisdom in speaking that all your adversaries will be powerless to resist or refute. You will even be handed over by parents, brothers, relatives, and friends, and they will put some of you to death. You will be hated by all because of my name, but not a hair on your head will be destroyed. By your perseverance, you will secure your lives." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. These are really, it's a very stark scene that our Lord is painting, and he's telling them, this is a, you wouldn't exactly call it a prophecy because it's God himself speaking, but he's explaining to them, first of all, they're looking at the beautiful temple. Here we're in a beautiful church, and saying that this is not going to last. This is going to be torn down. Yet through this, and through the persecution that's going to result in the temple being torn down, and through the earthquakes and the famines and so much, it will lead you to giving your testimony. It will lead you to giving your testimony. And he's even saying, "And don't worry about that, because I've got you covered. I'm going to give you the words to say in that moment. You don't have to prepare. But this is going to be a time of trial, a time of persecution, a time of fire." What we have in the first reading points it out as well. The prophet Malachi, this is in the Old Testament, obviously, but here he's speaking about the coming of the day of the Lord, which is what Jesus' day is and continues to be for us. And it says, "Lo, the day is coming like a blazing oven, and all the evildoers and the proud will be stubble and consumed in the fire. But there will arise a sun of justice with its healing rays." I mean, I think it's really important to stop and just really think through that. So this fire, this burning furnace comes along, this blazing oven, and all that is evil is incinerated, and all that is good is healed. "For you who fear my name, there will arise a sun of justice with his healing rays." So the sun comes and it burns and devours and consumes on one side, and on this side, it heals. It brings justice. It's like the glory of the testimony. And as the gospel said there at the very end, Your lives will be secured, and not a hair on your head will be destroyed. If you go into a blazing fire, you're not expecting to come out the other side without a hair of it. There's going to be singed hair all over the place. That's the first thing that's going to go, normally. But then we recall the testimony of the three in the book of Daniel, the three that went into the fiery furnace because they would not bow down to Nebuchadnezzar's gods. And they're cast into the furnace, and they're walking around inside there completely unharmed, and Nebuchadnezzar the king, you know this story from the Old Testament, the fiery three, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. If you do not know this story, go home and look it up today. You got to know these stories. They're awesome, and they tell us so much about the formatting of the universe. Anyways, that's a sign. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they're thrown in the furnace because they would not bow down to the false gods. Nebuchadnezzar goes up and he's looking there. He says, wait a minute, I thought we threw in three, but there's four in there, and one of them looks like the Son of Man. And he calls them out, and they come out, and they're completely unsinged, unburned in any way. There's not even the least whiff of smoke or anything on them. And he says, surely your God is the true God. And then he orders everyone to worship the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the three Jews who were in the Babylonian captivity. Anyway, sorry, I wasn't planning on talking about that. You got to know those stories. Absolutely, these Old Testament stories. So anyways, I will rail about that some other time because we have a homily here. Okay, so this is what's happening. Fire is, depending on who you are, ends in destruction or healing. And in the gospel, we have the same thing, the destruction of the temple, terrible things, and there comes out of these false prophets and people who are doing evil, and on the other side, those who secure their lives. Yet the instrument is the same. Destruction, fire, persecution, terrible things, earthquakes. And so I want to just unpack that just a little bit here today, because it's like we're all living in the exact same world, and pretty much, you know, it's like you look around and you say, like, everyone pretty much goes through the same kinds of things, generally speaking. I mean, obviously there's a broad width, a bandwidth of what happens from tremendous suffering but the same things happen century after century, generally speaking. Yes, there are wars. Yes, there are persecutions. Yes, there are trials. Yes, there is illness. Yes, there are great disappointments. And you see how different people react in different ways. Just over the last 2 weeks, I've been speaking with a reporter, Kirsten Fleming. She actually did an article today in the New York Post. I know there's other stuff that you wouldn't read in the New York Post, but this is a good article about the church in the New York Post today. Go look it up. She was doing an article on so many individuals who have been this big, fairly significant uptick in those who are converting, not just to Christianity in general, but specifically in Catholicism. It's happening in general, but it's happening more in Catholicism, it seems, than any other denomination. And so she's doing an article on this, and in there she interviews a couple of people. She interviewed one from here in the parish. She also over at St. Joseph's in Greenwich Village. She also spoke with up in St. Vincent Ferrer, and spoke to some over in Brooklyn as well. But it's like the same thing that we see happening in the gospel in the first reading is also seems to be happening for some of these number of these individuals who are, this is the reason why they're making this split. They're entering in the fire and making this split either to destruction or to healing. And the ones that enter in the OCIA class generally, or who are coming back to the faith for the first time in many years, are experiencing this healing. There is one of the individuals, I think he's a parishioner over at St. Joseph's, just there in the article, speaking about this moment when his wife, who was pregnant, they're about ready to give birth to their little baby girl, has this medical emergency, and this is a gentleman who really doesn't have faith, is not someone who really believes in much, and he's watching his wife get wheeled back into the operating room, and just this he comes as recognition that everything that is most precious in my life, I absolutely do not have control over it. And this instinct in his soul swelled up to pray. And so he said right there, he got down on his knees there on the hospital floor and began to pray for the first time. His wife and his baby are in perfect health. They came through just fine. But it's like he was in a moment of fire and destruction and doubt and confusion. And he responded with, "Lord, I need help if you're out there." There's another individual that went through a personal health crisis and spoke about while in college having like almost like an existential crisis that would lead to severe anxiety and panic attacks and through finding God and finding prayer and peace and starting to come, it's like it's been healed in this guy. There's another individual who is woke in a certain sense woke up during COVID, woke up to the this lady kind of went through life thinking, everyone's pretty much good and there's a little bit of bad in everybody and a little bit of good and so, but it's all the bandwidth is about like this wide and this isn't so bad and that's not so great, but we're okay. And then in COVID, just watched the here in New York, watched the world kind of come unhinged, and she's seeing looting and violence and riots and destroying neighborhoods. And on the other side, people like resorting to prayer. And it's like she said, "Well, wait a minute, this bandwidth isn't like this. It's like this." And through the trial and the persecution of the pandemic, which is one of the things Jesus was predicting. Through the pandemic, it's like some just went all the way to evil and others just went all the way and good. And she said, "I'm going that way." She had not grown up with any belief really whatsoever. Pretty much an agnostic. But she was, okay, no, this good and evil, these forces are way more powerful than I ever imagined. And I want to be on this side that is good. Now, that's where underneath trial and tribulation and suffering, that those who make that decision to say yes. You also see the other decision. That also happens, and it's tragic. This is about a month ago, I was speaking with a gentleman out on the street who is from the neighborhood here, and he grew up in the church. But right now, I've always seen him out in the street, and I was kind of wondering why I never see him, because I know at least on paper he's Catholic, because of his family and so forth. And so I struck a conversation with him and said, "Hey, you know, why don't you?" "Oh no, I'm never going in there, because look around, I'm not going to that church, because look what God does. He lets this stuff happen and this other stuff happen, and why do kids get cancer? And why does this? And I'm just not. This is just terrible." And he was just this anger that was just became alive inside. I was like, whoa, but let's not touch that rail again. Let's try it. So since then, I've been trying to just show that he's got a friend and someone from the church. But it's like, as he ran into that, which is, I mean, he wasn't making anything up, but he was just saying, well, that must mean that God is bad if he allows these things, and I don't want that. And if that's who God is, I don't want anything to do with him. Walks away. Maybe he'll come back. He's got a lot of people praying for him. There's another individual I spoke to on the phone. I don't know. This is maybe about like 2 or 3 months ago, and their 90-year-old father had passed away, 90 years old. And oftentimes it's like, well, has he lived a good life? And it's the way he's not suffering now, and so we're just grateful for the time we had, and what a blessing for it. But that's what, you know, what we often hear. But in this instance, it was, why did God let my dad die? He was such a good man. He shouldn't have had to die. It's like, whoa, where is this coming from? But there's this like hardening of heart that was happening right there on the. But why that kind of response? But I think this is an important lesson, that what Christ, why he is warning about these things. He's saying that, yes, these things will come, and it is up to you to decide how are you going to respond. Your emotions may pull you in this direction or that direction. Your friends and family will pull you in this direction or that direction. The situation might be a lot more difficult or not so difficult, but it's up to us to decide, how am I going to respond? Will I allow my heart to harden and double down in pride, in arrogance, in know-it-allness? That's a real word, isn't it? And say, no, I know what should be happening, and if that's not what's happening, then damned be God. I don't want anything to do with him, because I know what's right, and I know how this is supposed to play out. Or, like the young dad and young husband, we get down on our knees and say, Lord, please help me. I think the decision is ours. If God, who is who he says he is, he's not going to force us into heaven. He's not going to force us into hell either. But it's an invitation that he extends. And sometimes we're just kind of sitting on the fence about how we want to respond, and so he allows things to get shook up and shriven and shaken down, and he reveals his love, and he says, will you follow me? I have so much more I want to give you. And it's not the things of this world. It's not the columns and the stones and the votive offerings, as it spoke about in the gospel, and the beautiful temple. It's the relationship with God. It's the heavenly Jerusalem. It's the heaven. So what is our choice going to be? Now, at the very end of the year, the liturgical year, every year, this is the question that the liturgy presents to us. We have these apocalyptical readings that speak about these times, and these are times that we have always been living in, and that we are living in now, and they were living in 100 years ago, and that they were living in 1,000 years ago, and they were living in 2,000 years ago. We are always living in this time of this revelation of the love of God, this promise of the resurrection, the destruction of all that we have that is around us, that being shaken down, and we're presented with the option. What will you choose? Who will you be? Will you be on the side of good and truth and beauty? Or will you be on the side of arrogance and egoism and destruction? The choice is ours.